Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that death is man's last enemy. We all try to avoid death as much as possible. Our country is made as safe as possible in order to keep us safe, because no one wants to die. When you cross the road, you make sure that you are safe before you cross. Doesn't matter how old you are, whether you have one day to live or an entire lifetime to live. We just simply do not like death. Death is very permanent. It is very final. Death is something that we all hate. Nobody likes death. Every profession that we have on earth is try to push death as far away as possible from our lives. We have doctors, we have engineers, architects, we have teachers who try to make our lives richer, buildings that are safe and sound and secure. We try our best to get rid of death. Why do we not try our best to get rid of eternal death? When we try so hard to push physical death as far away as possible from our lives, and yet, even as we try, even as we begin to try, we know that it is a losing battle. One day, death will win. You and I can take all the steps you and I want by eating healthily, by exercising daily, by doing all kinds of physical help to delay death, to push death away. But we know that it is a losing battle. We can never win, because death will ultimately come and it will defeat us. Man had always tried to overcome death. All religions and everyone has failed, because the founder of every religion, they also die. And they have not defeated death themselves. And if they have not defeated death themselves, how could they show us the way to defeat death in our lives? Except the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day after he died. God raised him from the dead. He defeated death for you and for me. The reason we die is because of sin, plain and simple. And so this statement, the just shall live by faith, is a common statement started in Habakkuk chapter 2. The Apostle Paul quoted it here in Galatians. He quoted it also again in Romans. And if he was regarded as the author of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, he will quote it again. Four different contexts with four different emphases concerning the just shall live by faith. We're going to talk more about that when we attend the camp. We're going to study the whole book of Habakkuk throughout the camp and other testimonies as well of those who have lived by faith. In the case of Habakkuk, as the camp theme highlighted, the just shall live by his faith, personal. In contrast to the other three, Galatians, Romans, and Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. In the book of Hebrews, it is an emphasis that is different from the other three. All of them are different, with a different shift, focus, and nuance. In the case of Hebrews, chapter 10, those who have started in faith, you must continue to live in faith. Otherwise, your faith is not real from the very beginning. And then Hebrews 11, the author cited many examples of the faithful. We all know that chapter very well. It's known as the Hall of Faith. In the case of Romans chapter 1, the just shall live by faith, from faith to faith. That's how we begin. We begin in faith, we continue in faith, and we end in faith. Our salvation, our conversion is by faith. Our sanctification is by faith. Our glorification is by faith. Everything about us, from beginning to end, is by faith. That's how Romans 1 emphasized the same verse that is here. But what about Galatians? In Galatians, it is a little different. Let me rephrase this statement, the just shall live by faith. Literally, in the original, it simply means this. Of course, you can't translate this into the Bible because the Bible is meant for reading. And therefore, you have to make it very, very readable from the English language perspective. But in the clumsy and literal way where we can understand the emphasis, it literally means this. Instead of the just shall live by faith, it means for the just by faith shall live. In other words, what it means is simply this. Do you want to live? If you want to live, the only way that you can ever defeat death and live forever and ever is by faith. That's what this means. For the just, by faith, shall live. Any other way, you will not live. You will die. That's what this wonderful statement, the just shall live by faith, emphasized. Different from Hebrews, different from Habakkuk, different from Romans. It has its unique, special nuance. And so this morning, we are going to talk about life and death. This is something that must interest all of us. Because the moment we die physically, whether you're going to live or die eternally, it's going to depend upon what you do right here and now before you die physically. That's how important your physical life and my physical life is. Because it makes a world of difference. Your eternity is at stake. And so the Apostle Paul was very upset and angry with the false teachers because they are playing with the souls of men, women, and children, whether they're going to end up in hell or in heaven. That's why he was very angry. That's why he did not waste any time from the very beginning when news came to his ears that the churches that he was used by God to found in his first missionary journey had been so badly infiltrated by false teachers, and some of the believers whom Paul led to Christ have perhaps begun to believe the false gospel, where they could very well not have been saved in the first place. And if this false gospel allowed to permeate any further, those who believe in the false gospel will not find salvation at all. And in the meantime, they think they are going to have salvation. And when they die, they're going to find out to the rudest awakening of their entire eternal life. They are in hell. And they can't get out. There is no annihilation in hell. You're going to spend eternity in great pain and torment because that is the justice of God upon all sinners who sin against Him. Any sin against another human being, the worst that can happen to us is the death penalty, right? Some may say life imprisonment and that's it, until you die. The judgment of man upon you is over. They can't touch you after death. That's the short arm of the law of man, the arm of man. But with God, there is no end of punishment because that's how God looked at your sin and my sin. And so what did the false teachers do? Verse 10, they tried to bring in the works of the law. They proposed to them that there is another way of salvation beside Christ, that you could also earn the same righteousness that Paul promised you in Christ by obeying the works of the law. That's what they say, for as many as are of the works of the law. That's what they were proposing, and that's what some of them have been deceived into following. Because somehow man likes to earn his way to heaven. We want to do something when it is offered freely to us, too good to be true. We must do something to get salvation so that we can perhaps take pride in our own works to be saved, to enter heaven with some sense and semblance of pride. You see, I am in heaven because I contributed a little bit. And therefore, God is pleased with me because of what I have done. But to look at our salvation and to say that God is pleased with me because of what Christ has done is something that we find so hard to accept as an unbeliever. But that is the reality. Because Paul says, if you want to be saved by the works of the law, and by the way, what are the works of the law? It is not limited to only the moral law. It includes the moral law, that's for sure. But it also includes all the statutes and all the other instructions, such as circumcision, keeping all the feast days, including, by this time, the oral traditions of the Jews. And that's what they sincerely believe, and that's what parents of every Jewish home will instill into their children. Right from the very beginning, they will be circumcised and to be taught how to earn their way to heaven by the works of the law. Thou shalt not kill. And so they have to redefine it. Well, it means actual killing. But Jesus says, thou shalt not kill means you cannot be angry with a person, at a person without a just cause. The moment you do that, you have already broken commandment number 6. Thou shalt honor your father and your mother. And so they try their best to honor them as long as it is convenient. And so some of them will twist and turn. And they do not want to honor mom and dad, and they hide behind obeying the law. That's what they were taught, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ chastised them. Because to honor mom and dad means you've got to give them some financial help, something to keep them alive. But some of these Jews who will make a deal with the priests, with the make a deal with the leaders, well, these are all under korban, devoted to God. So mom, dad, sorry, nothing to give you this month. Everything has been under korban given to the temple, to God. And then with this kind of a deal, the priest will take a cut, and then the son will also take a cut. And so therefore, they didn't have to give anything to mom and dad, hiding behind a noble religious facade. I gave so much to God. And that's what the Lord rebuked them. Committing adultery only when you are caught. Jesus says, if you lust after the woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Completely, fully. They changed and reinterpreted the word of God because they tried to save themselves by the works of the law. And so in order to do that, they have to distort the interpretation and the understanding of the Bible for them to succeed. Are we doing the same today? Do you think that you can contribute to your own salvation? I hope not. We must not. Because the Bible says, for as many as are of the works of the law, you are under a curse. The curse. What is the curse? The curse is this, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You want to be saved by obeying the law, God says, fine. This is the curse that no man can keep. You have to obey the laws of God perfectly all your life. Let's say you live on earth 20 years. Let's say you start to obey the moment you are born. Let's say, supposedly, theoretically speaking, for argument's sake. And then you obey perfectly for argument's sake. 19 years. 12 months. Now you have the last 31 days. Supposing you're born on the 1st of January. So the last 20th year, last month, 31 days. So on the 30th day of December, let's say you are still able to keep it perfectly. And then you have last one more final day, 24 hours. And so let's say you are still able to keep it for the 23rd hour, right up to the last hour, 60 minutes. Let's say you can still keep it right up to the 59th minute. So 20 years on earth, you kept everything perfectly, all the commandments of God, all the statutes of God perfectly, in heart, in soul, in mind. Let's say you could, for argument's sake. And then on the last minute, with 60 seconds left, you still manage to keep it for 59 seconds, and then that 1 second before you breathe your last breath, wow, how great I am, you fall into the sin of pride. That's it. One last final second. Everything that you have been doing for the past nearly 20 years, minus that 1 second, all gone. All gone. The whole life all gone, because that's exactly what the Lord demands, perfection. Not even for one minute second must you sin if you want to go by the law. That's the curse. For argument's sake, you know that is an impossibility. Because we are all born sinful. We are, no one is born neutral. Every baby, including this newborn in our church, Obadiah, which means servant of Jehovah, a good name. Very rare, very few Obadiahs in our midst. But it's a very good name, the servant of Jehovah. Please note that all babies are born with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life in them. That is the original sin that all of us inherited from Adam, first Adam. How do we know that? Because all of us die. Babies also die. We die because of sin. The babies committed any willful sin? No, they're too young. Then why do babies die? Because they have original sin inherited from Adam. Death. That's the evidence that we are all sinners, including babies, including those who are conceived inside the mother's womb, because baby also die inside the mother's womb, right? And therefore, we are already disqualified from the demands of the law. So why would you think that you could now suddenly, out of the blue, born in sin, so suddenly you think you can be saved? You can defeat death by obeying the works of the law? Paul says that's an impossibility. You are under a curse. All of us are under the curse that we cannot get out of without Christ. Do you want to die? You don't need to die. God says to you this morning, you have the strength and the power through Christ to defeat death in your life. Why do you want to die? All your life you have been trying to push death away. Right? That's all you and I have been doing. Eating well, exercising, making your house safe. When they do renovation, you make sure there are no live wire hanging around, sticking around. Everything is as careful as possible. You do not want to die. You do not want to get hurt physically. And yet, no matter how you try, remember, it's a losing battle. Because this physical life, physical death, will catch up to all of us. Except, there is an exception in Christ. That equation that is in the DNA of every sinner, the moment we're born, we have to think death, because death will come. That equation can be broken, not by obeying the law, because that is a curse that no man can do. And then later on in the closing verses of chapter 3 of Galatians, the Apostle Paul will explain to us, if the law was never meant to be given by God to show us the way of salvation, then what is the point of God giving us the law? He used the word school teacher in verse 24 to tell us there is another function for the law. It's like a school teacher. But in this context, verses 10 to 12, he simply highlights that if you want to be saved by the law, you put yourself into a curse that you can never get out of without help. Do not try to earn your way to salvation, dear friend. Many have tried, and they have tried in ways and means that are out of this world. The kind of strength of mind and character, the kind of religious legalism that frightens us. And yet God said, they failed. That kind of discipline that you do not find in our very, very ill-disciplined 21st century society. These people in the time of Christ, the Pharisees, they were so rigid in the observance of all the oral traditions that it is mind-boggling. And that's why the Lord cited them as the example par excellence. As far as salvation of good work by good works are concerned, no one on earth can beat the Pharisees. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, no man can in any way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Out of all the righteousness on earth, none can even come close to the legalistic, frightening discipline of the scribes and the Pharisees. And yet, God says, they also will fall short. Push death away with God's help, dear friends. Don't let death, our last enemy, have the victory over your life. I do not know how you look at death. My first taste of death was when I was 17. My dad passed away in my grandma's house, 5th Avenue, Bukit Timah. I will never forget that day. We were all there as he lied in bed, breathing his last breath. My brothers, my sisters, and myself, and of course my mom, by his bedside. I was 17. I have an older sister, 18, older brother, 19, and my older sister, 20. And then the rest are my younger siblings. 9 of us. We were all there. Of course, my youngest brother would maybe be impacted the least because he was the youngest. Maybe he was about 10 years old. I was angry when my dad died. I was not a Christian. Nobody shared Christ with us at all. I never heard of Christ. I remember after my dad passed away, I was so angry that I smashed with my bare hands 2 cupboards. I destroyed them. I just punched them away. Broke them. Very mad and very angry. Angry at whom? Angry at an invisible enemy that I can't even touch. I can't even see with my eyes. It's an enemy that is so powerful that took my dad away from me by death. And there was nothing I could do. Angry. At nobody, basically. Just simply at death. And then when I was around 28 years old, by then I was already a Christian, not called into full-time ministry yet, entered into the full-time ministry at the age of 29. At the age of 28, my sister passed away, the first Christian in our family. 1 year older than me, she came to know Christ when she was in the university. She was the one who shared the gospel with us during dinner time that I shared with you. Well, how I told her to shut up and get out if you want to talk this nonsense and eat dinner with us. You don't eat, you get out. Now, she was 1 year older than me, but I was very rude to her. And instead of getting mad and angry with me as my older sister, she just kept quiet and let me scold her, humiliate her in front of everyone, in front of my mom, in front of my other siblings. And then she bought me my first Bible at Christmas, and that made me even more terrible. This is exactly what the Lord said. Someone who persecute you and hurt you, you continue to do good to them. And then you will heap coals upon their head. I felt that. Instead of scolding me back, if she had raised her voice and scolded me back, I felt better. But she kept quiet and do good to me by buying me a Christmas gift, a Bible. And that made me even worse. I felt so horrible about what I did to her. And so out of guilt, I read the Bible. Halfway through the Old Testament, and then finished the entire New Testament, and then put it one side. Just another book, I thought. Never realized that after salvation, I'll be studying the Bible for the rest of my life. But that was my second experience of death. This sister went overseas to work. She was working for the newspaper. They sent her to Paris. She always suffered from gastric pains. But then when she was in Paris, she had excruciating pain in her stomach. They thought it was gastric, gave her some painkillers, sent her back home. In the middle of the night, all alone, the pain came back. And then they called an ambulance, and by the time they found her, they treated her. It was too late. She died of blood poisoning, all alone, 29 years old. And I was so angry with her because before she left, we had a quarrel. We quarrel over some doctrine, some issues. And then I did not even send her off at the airport, thinking that she will return, and upon her return, then I will say sorry to her. I never realized that my brothers and I would have to go through the luggage part of the airport to collect her coffin. That was my second experience of death. And then it was a vigil service, one after the other, until we buried her in Choa Chu Kang Cemetery. The reason I share this with you is because of my two very contrasting feelings and emotions concerning death. I do not know how you feel about death in your life. The first, I was very angry. The second, my older sister, I was very sad, but I was not angry. I was angry with myself because I thought that she would come back home, that I could apologize to her because of our quarrel upon her return. And therefore, I did not even send her off at the airport. And so I told myself that when my family members are going overseas, I will always try my best to be there to send them off. Learn my lesson and don't hold on to your anger and delay in apologizing. Sure, one day I know that I'll meet her again, and then I will apologize to her in heaven for what I have done wrong, if she still remembers. But two very different. In the case of my dad, it was so permanent. In the case of my sister, it was temporary. I know I will meet her again. I know that I will be able to say to her what words that I could not say to her on earth, but I could say to her one day in heaven, in the presence of God Almighty. Then, of course, the third death was my mom. But these are the two deaths that impacted me the most, one of my dad before salvation and my sister first death after salvation in my family. Death is indeed our last enemy. They snatch our loved one away from us. And they can do the same to you and to me. Snatch us away from our loved ones. And you and I know that the only way that you and I can remain together, if we love one another as a family, your family, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, all these can remain together only if you can defeat death in your life and in their lives. No other way. Because no matter how strong your love is, my love is for one another, death will tear us apart. Because your love and my love is not strong enough. It's not strong enough to prevent death. Because death is based upon God's justice. Because God says, everyone who sinned must die. That's found in Genesis 2. When God said that to Adam and Eve, it was the judgment of God upon all humanity ever since then. Everyone who sinned must die. Even though we have not committed the same kind of sin as Adam and Eve, but sin is still sin. And therefore, we all will die. Unless in our lifetime you find someone to take your place and die in your place. Because God cannot just simply sweep your sins and my sins under the carpet as if and pretend as if we have not sinned. All of us have sinned. We have original sin, and then once we are old enough, we commit a lot more willful sin. All of us. And we can't get rid of the sin because it is stuck to us, stuck to our soul, stuck to our entire inward being. We know that. Just like the dirt of this earth sticks to our external body. But the dirt that is on our external body, we can take a shower, we can wash it away with water. But how to wash the inward sin that continues to attach itself more and more? Every day we wake up, we sin more and more. And the dirt is now covering our entire inner being. Nothing on earth can ever reach the inside, the soul that is now corrupted and covered in sin, except the blood of Christ. Except the blood of Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in verses 11 and 12. Verse 10, if it is by works, even the works of the law, we die. Because the works of the law come with a curse. And the curse is, you want to do so, you must keep it perfectly. Which we all can't, because we're already disqualified from the very beginning. Even before we walk to the starting line. The line of salvation by works, which is not there. Let's say, by, for argument's sake, let's say it is there. We can't even walk to the starting line. We're already disqualified because we are born in sin. We are not born neutral. Our children are all born with the sinful nature, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's why, parents, you remember this. Don't ever forget that when you look at your angelic babies, they are all predisposed to listen to the voice of the devil, the god of this world. If you do not bring them up properly and give them an alternate voice, which is the voice of God in Christ, they're not going to listen to you. They are going to listen to the world. And if you do not know enough of the Bible to teach them what is right and what is wrong according to the Bible, the moment they are born, they are already programmed with a sinful nature to live and to walk in sin. You have to give them an alternative so that they can live and walk in righteousness, even though they are not righteous yet in Christ. But you have to let them taste the life of righteousness as fathers, as mothers. Show them so that one day, after they have already lived and tasted the life of righteousness without Christ because of mom and dad's guidance and direction, pray and share with them the gospel. Then this time round, when they have Christ in them, the life of righteousness and holiness that they have already experienced because of what you have been teaching them and training them will now become a conviction. And they will now do it for Christ's sake. And before that, they did it for mom and dad's sake. But now you have to show them Christ so that they can do it for Christ's sake. That's what you must do. But to do that, you have to know in your own heart, to be just by faith, you shall live. To be just by the works of the law, you shall die. Verse 10, by the works of the law, you shall die. No one can be justified. But you can be justified. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. In the sight of God, that's the key, in the sight of God. But in the sight of God, you can be justified by faith. By simply believing. By simply believing all that what Christ had already done for you. That's it. Plain and simple. The Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died on the cross in your place. Even though you were not born yet. He died in your place because God knew about your birth and your life even before you were born. And so God sent Jesus Christ to die while you were still His enemies. All of us were His enemies when Jesus Christ died for us. All you need to do is to believe. That's it. Plain and simple. You cannot pay money. Please do not think that your tithe and offering is to buy salvation. This is an expression of our devotion and our love for Christ and for God. God doesn't need our money. We need Him. He doesn't need us. This is an expression of our love for Him. That's why we give. Just like children give to mom and dad after they start work because of their love for mom and dad. Mom and dad may still be working, or dad may still be working, and they have a lot more money than you in the bank. They've been working all their lives. But it's not whether they have more or less. It's an expression of your love for them that you give. Plain and simple. It's not the amount. It's an expression of love. Same. God doesn't need, He owns everything on earth. But this is an expression of love. Please don't think that you are giving all this to buy salvation. This is an expression of the evidence of salvation. Just like everything that we do in church. Evidence of salvation. Not to be saved by doing Christian works, just like the people in those days tried to be saved by doing Christian work according to the national witness. We are now trying to do Christian work according to the church witness. But either way, it's going to be a flat failure because it is under a curse. In order to do that, you have to begin with perfection. No sin. But we are all born in sin. But in the sight of God, God says, no man can be justified by the law, but all men can be justified by faith. By simply believing. That's what faith is. Believing in what? Believing that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, as you read and study in the gospel, He took your place. You were there. You identify yourself with Christ. That's what by believing means. When Jesus Christ was crucified, I was there. You were there. All of us were there. If you are born again in Christ, we were all there. Jesus Christ was there. We were there with Him when He hung on the cross. He was there because of my sins, the sins that I've committed against God. Jesus Christ put it on his body. And then when he died, when he suffered, all these was because of my sin that he suffered and he died before God Almighty. Not to pay the devil, to fulfill God's justice, not the devil's justice. The devil has no justice. The devil is the father of lies. To fulfill God's justice, God's requirement, all you need is just simply to believe. Plain and simple. Identify yourself with Christ, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you died with him. Which part of us died? Sinful nature. You're no longer under bondage to sin anymore. You don't have to obey sin. You don't have to listen to the voice of sin. Because of sin, we die. So the sinful nature is now put to the cross. Death. When Christ died, the sinful nature is gone. So don't say you have the sinful nature anymore. Then what is it that causes to sin? Romans 7 says, the flesh. As long as you witness for the Lord in the flesh, this body of ours will still succumb to the seduction and the temptations of the world. Now you and I have the power not to sin. Remember, before the fall, Adam and Eve can sin. Sadly, they did sin. After the fall, before salvation, we all cannot not sin. After salvation in Christ, all children of God can sin. You don't have to sin, but you can still sin. You have the power not to sin. You cannot sin. You have the strength not to sin. But in glorification, you cannot not sin, because you will never sin again. Please understand this. You cannot sin with the power of God in glorification. No more will sin ever plague you in glorification. But as long as we are born again in this earthen vessel, we struggle with sin. But not because of the sinful nature. Sinful nature makes us slave to sin. You are now slave to righteousness. Big difference. Because this is the experience that you must now have on earth as one of the best evidence of a person who is born again. That is the change that is inside. A change that is within, that is real, that makes you a person that loves God, that loves to be with God's people, that loves to hear God's word, love to sing hymns, love all things Christian. You can't help it, because the Spirit of God dwells in you, will make you to become such a person. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. It is not by the power of man or by the will of man. It is by the power of God, the Spirit of God who works in us. It is real. And this life, God says, is yours. All you need is to believe. That's why the just by faith shall live. The just by works shall die. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? You and I have the power to get rid of death by God's help in Christ permanently. Forever. You can. You and I try our entire life to push physical death away. And now God Almighty offer you free of charge. All you need is to believe. And you can push eternal death away. You can. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. He made full payment to God to satisfy God's justice and demand on your life and on my life. Because God says, you sin against me, you must die. Unless you find someone to take your place. And God says, I sent someone to take your place. My only begotten son. I sent him to become just like you. Born of the Virgin Mary, grew up to become a man, but he's perfect. And he is the Son of God and the Son of Man at the same time, when he died on the cross for you. And he did. And what he did for you, I said, it is enough to wash away all your sins. The sins that you inherited from first Adam and all the sins that you have committed in thought, in heart, in lips, in words, in deeds, in everything. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away all your sins as if you have never sinned again. As if you have never sinned before. That's how God will look at you. The moment you are in Christ, God will look at you from the very beginning. As if you do not have original sin. He will look at you and he will see someone as never having broken any of his 10 commandments. Because he will give you the righteousness of the law as if you have never broken any of his 10 commandments. Because Jesus Christ has already washed away all your sins. He is now perfect in the eyes of God forever. That's what it means by the just by faith shall certainly live.
Guarantee.
Do you not want to live, dear friend? Why do you want to choose death? You don't have to choose death. You can choose life, eternal. When all your life you have been choosing life, physical. Why do you not want to take it one step further and be wise? Choose life eternal. Because life physical, you know you try to extend your life physical on earth, even though it is a losing battle. Death will still catch up to you. And yet you still try your best. You put in energy. You are very careful with your food and exercise and put in a lot of money to eat well, eat good. And yet you know it is a futile effort because death will still come. That's physical. And here, God has done everything for you already concerning death eternal. And God offered it to you freely on a silver platter, cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's all you need. Just simply believe. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sin, rose from the dead for your justification, and God promised you, you will not be ashamed. You will not experience a God who will break His word. You will be saved to the uttermost. You don't need to die eternally. You don't need to. Because Jesus promised us, for the just by faith shall definitely live. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. You want to go by the works of the law? You must, from beginning to end, follow the law. And you and I know that's an impossible journey. Impossible. You and I can never live in the law. Because in the law, we are cursed. But in Christ, you are blessed. And you will live. Your choice, dear friends. What was your first experience of death like? Do you remember that? I think most, if not all of us, will remember our first experience of physical death. Were you an unbeliever or believer at that time? And then, ever since then, I'm sure you have experienced many, many deaths of friends, family members, and loved ones. What comes to mind? Do you ever think that one day maybe it is your turn to be inside that coffin? Where will you go when you breathe your last breath? The Lord who came down from heaven wants to show you the way to heaven. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has been to heaven, who came down from heaven, knows the way to heaven. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Him. And He will lead you all the way into heaven. Out of hell, out of death, into the arms of God Almighty. All you need is to believe. As simple as that. Believe with all your heart. Total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, who truly died on the cross for your sins because He loved you, even though there is nothing lovely in anyone of us for Him to love, but He loved us. That is His grace offering to all of us this morning. And I hope that all of us, in our heart of hearts, will want to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior. Why would you not? Like a man crawling out of the desert, crying for even a tiny drop of water. And here you are, right outside the edge of the desert that you have been crawling toward. Water is living water, right in front of you. And all you need to do is to reach forth your hand, take the living water and drink, and you will not need to die. Reaching out to take the water is the faith. Christ is now there right in front of you, the living water, the living bread. Drink it, eat it, and you will never thirst again. You will never die. All you need, reach forth, that's it. That's what faith is. Would you? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. You know, O Lord, that all of us are born in sin, and we have all committed many sins since then. And yet, Lord, in Thy great love for us, You have kept us alive, and you have presented and given to us the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus many times before, and once again this morning. We pray, O Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may bring conviction to all our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to choose life and not death. For we have tried our entire life to push physical death away from us since we were born, since our parents taught us to be careful. And yet, it had always been a losing battle. For death will finally catch up to us. For all of us who are born in sin will surely die, unless we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our substitute, who had already died in our place, so that we who are now in Christ Jesus will never die, and the sting of death has been eternally removed from us in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we pray, help each and every one of us to make sure of our salvation, for truly the just by faith shall certainly live. And this is our heart's desire, O Lord, to simply believe. To believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead for my justification. O Lord, may this be the cry that is found in every heart this morning. May thou be merciful and by the power of thy Spirit of God bring such a conviction that all of us may truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, and in God's sight are now declared righteous, because the just by faith will certainly live. For this we pray and ask for Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name. Amen.